Welcome in to the Bleed Tech Blue Game Day Podcast. Ben Carlisle, publisher, BleedTechBlue.com, coming to you, getting you set. Louisiana Tech 1-1 overall in 2019. Set to hit the road this afternoon to take on Bowling Green in a non-conference matchup in Bowling Green, Ohio. Kickoff set for 4 p.m. this afternoon. Game will be televised on ESPN+. I've had a lot of questions throughout the last couple weeks. Where can I listen to the Tech football game if I'm living out of town? If you're outside of 75 miles outside of Ruston, you can listen in on TuneIn.com. Just search for the Louisiana Tech football station. You'll be able to listen in. This is the third overall meeting between Bowling Green and Louisiana Tech. Be the first matchup between the two teams since 1997. Louisiana Tech holds a 2-0 series lead. This trip to Bowling Green will be the longest road trip of the season for the Bulldogs, covering 966 miles. When you look at the Bulldogs under Skip Holtz heading into today's matchup, this is Skip's seventh season at Louisiana Tech, 47-34 overall. The Bulldogs are 24-23 on the road under Holtz, so it would be nice to see Louisiana Tech go on the road, get a big road win. Want to send out a congrats to Jamar Smith, quarterback of the Bulldogs. Went over 7,000 career passing yards against Grambling State. Became the fifth Louisiana Tech quarterback to do so. One other thing of note, offensive guard, right guard Ethan Reed will be looking to make his 43rd consecutive start on the offensive line for the Bulldogs in this one. So, taking a look at Bowling Green, the Falcons enter today's matchup 1-1 overall, won a home game against Morgan State to open the year 46-3, dropped a road decision this past weekend at Kansas State 52-0, so the Falcons will be looking to get back on track this weekend. Falcons are coached by first-year head coach Scott Leffler. Leffler comes over to Bowling Green after previously spending the previous three seasons at Boston College, where he was the offensive coordinator there. Has also spent time in his career at Virginia Tech, Auburn, and Temple as an offensive coordinator as well. You look at Bowling Green as a big rebuilding job that Leffler has to do with this program. They've won only five games in the previous two seasons, so you can obviously understand that they're tremendously void of talent, and that showed up in their first two games against Morgan State and Kansas State. You know, it's really been a tale of two games for Bowling Green. The first game against Morgan State, obviously they scored 46 points, piled up 622 yards before last week. They get shut out at Kansas State, managed only 140 total yards. So, you know, offensively, this is a Bowling Green offense. You'll see a lot of 2-3 tight end sets, a lot of eye formation, a lot of shifting offensively, which would make you think that they want to kind of ground and pound you, run the clock, but they're actually a team that likes to get in some of these big 20 personnels and really run an up-tempo style of offense. You watch some of their film. They didn't get to do so against Kansas State. I think they only had five first downs in the game. But when they get first downs, they're really looking to move at a high tempo. So that'll give Tech defensive coordinator Bob Diaco quite the challenge. At quarterback for Bowling Green will be Darius Wade. Wade previously spent the 2018 season at Delaware, where he missed the season with a knee injury. Previously played for Leffler at Boston College for 4 years prior to that. He's a sixth-year senior. He's been okay this year. He's not a great thrower. He's only thrown for 332 yards, three touchdowns, completing 59% of his throws. So Boston College is going to limit the amount of times that they try to put the game on his arm. But, you know, Tech's got to be sure to stay at home. They like to use a lot of bootlegs, try to get him outside the pocket, try to get him some easy throws to get him into a rhythm and allow them to continue to move the chains. Wade's one of seven transfers on this Bowling Green offense, which, you know, Leffler has brought in numerous players from not only Boston College, but various universities as well. So he's definitely trying to you know, not just straight up rebuild the program. He's bringing in quality players to try to get this done relatively quickly. At running back, the starter, Andrew Clare, he's averaging just over 7 yards a carry. Missed the game against Kansas State, nursing a bit of a foot injury. He'll be a game time decision in this one for the Falcons. You know, it's difficult for Bowling Green. This is their homecoming. Do you push Clare? Do you get him out there? Or like Todd Walker, the voice of Bowling Green, told us Tuesday night, do you save him down the line for conference play that Bowling Green will get in down the road? So that'll be a big thing to watch. Davin Jones, Devon Jones is another Boston College transfer running back, you know, 5'11", 235, a bowling ball type guy, but he's played pretty well. He's leading the team in rushing, averaging over 5 yards a carry. Quentin Morris at receiver is the leading receiver, 6 catches for 81 yards to this point, 6'4", 228 pounds. So he's really big on the outside. They got some experience on the offensive line. You talk about their center, Jack Kramer, a redshirt sophomore, or redshirt senior. He'll make his 23rd career start at center. So it's going to be tough for Tech to slow down this offense, just for me, because it's a different style of offense, not one that you're accustomed to seeing. You talk about a power run team that plays up tempo. It's almost like Tech's playing a Navy or an Army or an Air Force, a military academy, but they're playing an up tempo style. So it'll be interesting to see how Tech can adjust to something that you obviously don't see every day in college football. Looking at the defensive side of things, Bowling Green limited Morgan State to just 70 total yards, only 4 first downs. So that was their best performance of the year, you know, without a doubt. But then Kansas State puts up 521 yards, 52 points against Bowling Green last weekend. Certainly gave the Falcons all they could handle. Looking at defensive coordinator Brian Van Gorder's defense, he was the defensive coordinator, I believe, at Louisville last year, so he's got some Power 5 experience. He's spent time at Notre Dame as well from 2014 to 2016 as their defensive coordinator, so really good coordinator. Now, what do they want to do defensively? Now, they really like to try to get up in the box and stop the run, but the problem is this year they're really small up front. You look at their nose tackle, DeMonte Hagler is a senior. Redshirt junior, but he's only 268 pounds. And so, you know, while he's got some experience, he's played some, they're just small on the interior, which Todd Walker told us Tuesday night is a major concern, not only heading into this game, but really something that'll be a concern for them throughout the year. Carl Brooks at defensive end, 6'4", 259-pound sophomore. He's going to provide the pass rushing presence, a guy that can really get off the edge and put some pressure on the quarterback. So that'll be a challenge for both Willie Allen and Jawight Stallworth for Tech up front. Actually, you know, for all the talk that we talked about Tech's offensive line in the offseason, I think they've done a pretty decent job through the first 2 weeks against Texas and Grambling. I think they've only allowed 2 total sacks. So they're doing a really good job in pass protection, and they'll have their work cut out for them with Brooks on set or tomorrow afternoon or this afternoon. And then, you know, looking at the linebackers, Brandon Pierce comes in, leads the team with 15 tackles. Backing him up will be Colby Coleman, another middle linebacker that had 70 tackles a year ago. Experience at linebacker, but how will they react to Tech's spread system is to be determined. Both Morgan State was overmatched. Kansas State used more of a pro-style set. Not a team that will really spread you out a lot. So Tech's going to look to spread Bowling Green out and take advantage of some of their matchups on the outside. Now, looking at some of the matchups on the outside, Bowling Green's really young at the cornerback spot. You got Caleb Biggers at one corner, 5'11", 185, and a sophomore. And at the other corner, you got Jawan Hudson, 5'10", 168, and a true freshman. And, you know, backing up Biggers and Hudson's another true freshman, Davin Wilson, and then a redshirt freshman, Ty Redding. So extremely, extremely young on the outside at cornerback, and I think that's going to give Tech an opportunity to have some real success. Now, what will Tech do going into this game from an offensive standpoint? We talked at nauseam throughout the week about the second half struggles. You know, why did Tech only throw the ball six times against Grambling State? Well, I think this week we're going to really see Tech begin to establish its identity as an offense. I think this is a pass-first offense. They're going to use the pass to set up the run. You know, when you talk about the run game, I think we'll begin to see Jaquise Dancy play a bigger role. The first two games, we've seen Jamar Smith. He's playing perhaps the best football of his Bulldog career, if you ask me, completing 67% of his throws. I think he's thrown for 277 yards a game. So playing really well at the quarterback position, not turning the ball over, not really putting the ball in danger through the air. I thought he hit some big shots down the field against Grambling. The one that sticks out is obviously Malik Stanley in that first drive of the second half. So I think offensively for Tech, they just need to continue to get that rhythm, especially in the passing game, allow Jamar to get it to some of his weapons, because I don't think it's any secret at this point. I mentioned Hardy and Graham, but Smoke Harris is playing really well. C.J. Powell, Griffin Hebert, Malik Stanley. I think we'll begin to see more and more of Wayne Toussaint outside behind Hardy and Graham. He's going to be a guy that can really stretch the field vertically. I mentioned him throughout the spring and into the fall about he's a guy that not many cornerbacks in the country can really run with. Now, you look at this Bowling Green defense, I don't think they're going to come in with a lot of team speed. So does Tech try to stretch them sideline to sideline when it comes to the run game, or do they try to run right at them? I think they could, you know, choose either way with Bowling Green being so small, especially in the interior of their defense. Looking at Bob Diaco's defense for Tech, to be honest with you, they've had struggles the first 2 weeks, giving up over 450 yards to both Texas and Grambling. This unit needs to step up. They got some talent on that side of the ball. When you talk about Willie Baker, I know Courtney Wallace is playing extremely well at nose tackle. It'll be interesting to see how Milton Williams and Wallace and Kendarian Mason bounce back on the defensive line after playing so many snaps a week ago. And, you know, at linebacker, obviously we know about Colin Scott, the leading tackler. I think Connor Taylor's playing really well. I think this is a game where we might see Connor Taylor get more snaps just because of the style of offense that Bowling Green plays. It really isn't going to force him to play a ton in coverage, so a game that he could really have a positive impact on. You look at the Tech secondary, I thought they cleaned things up last week. I know Grambling had some big plays through the air, but it seemed that the communication was much better. Seems that the redshirt freshman, B.J. Williamson's playing better. And overall, I was encouraged, but at the same point, you know, at the same time, this unit has to start getting some results, which is ultimately what we'll be looking for on Saturday or this afternoon. So then, you know, you look at from a special team standpoint, Tech, I think this is a spot that Tech took the biggest step forward from week one to week two. Bailey Hill hits two field goals. Smoke Harris has some nice kick returns. Michael Sam had a big 27-yard punt return. I thought the coverage units were really well. Coach Skipholtz was satisfied with how Brady Farlow punted the ball. I think he punted five times. I believe four or five of those punts were all fair caught, so no return yards there as well. So special teams needs to continue doing what it's doing, you know, from week two to week three. It's the final game for Tech before they jump into conference play next week with Florida International coming to town, coming to Ruston on Friday night. So big tune-up game for Louisiana Tech, playing a lesser opponent in Bowling Green. I mentioned that Bowling Green's 1-1, Tech's 1-1. I think the line for this opened at Tech as a 7-point favorite. It's up to 10.5. So hopefully Tech can come out early, play with good energy, play with some emotion, jump out to an early lead and continue to keep their foot on the gas and really put away this Bowling Green team. But I'm certainly excited. Like I said, 4 p.m. kickoff on ESPN+. We certainly appreciate you listening to the Bleed Tech Blue Game Day podcast. I'm your publisher, Ben Carlisle. Be sure to join us, bleedtechblue.com, only $9.95 a month.